Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
In to score is Hosmer. Over to third is Morales, and it's 4-1. Broken bat, fly ball, right field. How about Cueto? Royals up 2-0.
Here's the pitch. Salvi drills it high in the air, deep left field. No doubt about it. It's a home run. A game-tying blast from the Royals captain.
Two balls, no strikes. Bubich deals. Ground ball short. Diving stop went to second for one, to first for two. And the inability for Stanton to run shows up for the second straight game.
Bam lines it into right center field. That splits the gap of base hit. Gurriel rounds third. He comes in to score standing. Tommy Pham delivers. He gives the Royals the lead in the top of the fourth with an opposite field RBI single. The Royals lead 2-1 in game two of this division series.
And now Gleyber Torres, a right-handed batter, digs in against Ursay. In comes the pitch. First pitch fastball, ground ball whip. He's going to go to first. Out at first, game over. Royals win it and get the series even.
And we now get a home playoff baseball game later on this evening out at Kauffman Stadium for the first time in 9 years. And as I think Joel Goldberg, a friend of the show, did the math on it, 3,268 days ago, the last time playoff baseball in Kansas City. Out at the K. Welcome in. It's Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Going to be a fun show today, fun show tomorrow with both games taking place in Kansas City. And I will check in with our guy, Josh Vernier, a little bit later on today. Royals baseball on the air here, 96.5 The Fan. Vern's on deck show at 5. First pitch, 6:08 here on 96.5 The Fan. And reminder, you may have heard Bob and Dusty talking about it briefly, but right now, in our station parking lot, we've got some shirts to give away right now. Some of you are already lined up, I will say.
Yeah, some of them are gone, but
there are playoff-themed shirts, thanks to our friends over at DM Injury Law. We've got about 100 shirts to give away in the parking lot starting 3 minutes ago, and one shirt per person in your car. That's what we ask. Okay. Maximum of two people. That's what I'm told to say from the boss. That is going on right now.
They say we didn't come this far just to come this far. You might remember pretty memorable quote a couple of times in this postseason run. So yeah, playoff theme shirts, go on down there and get them. You can Google our address. I mean,
Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y.
Everyone has GPS, right? I mean, beyond that, why not get yourself a shirt? If you're going out to the K tonight, if you're heading to a bar, we know you're watching the game. Either at home, you need a shirt. At the bar, you need a shirt. At the K, you need a shirt. We know how this works. So if you're heading or planning on watching the game or enjoying it anyway, why not go get a free shirt while supplies last? We will, I guess, let you know on this show once they're gone.
Yes.
So you don't try to make your way over here.
Yeah, drive safely. No need to rush, okay?
And then, like, you know, like, make it fun for yourself. Like, maybe give Dusty the middle finger or something just to, like, he'd be like, let him wonder why you did that to him once on your way in, since he'll be out there helping.
Yeah, various sizes, but while supplies last here at the 96.5 The Fan parking lot, I think Bob, Dusty, and Mac are handing out some of the shirts, as a matter of fact. So you can meet some of them if you haven't met either of them or the three of them, and we will keep you updated on the shirt total and where things are. My guess is they will go fairly quickly, as usually the T-shirt drops do when they're at the station.
You and I have learned that lesson a couple of times. Taylor Swift ones were fast. I was worried I was going to have to be outside for like 2 hours during the show, and I only had to be outside for like 35 minutes. Great day. But yes, please do not rush to get over here, but they are available. And make your way over if you'd like to get a shirt.
You guys can interact with us, as always, also on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. 3,268 days, man, since the last playoff game at Kauffman Stadium. We get that again in Kansas City tonight. I can just kind of, if anybody was there in 14 and 15, you can close your eyes and you can picture what that was like. And you're going to see 37,000 plus. And the first aerial shot during the TV broadcast tonight of the 37,000 plus rally towels. Everybody, it's going to be incredible. And they're telling people to get in their seats. What, right about by 5:40, I believe is
yes. Gates at 3:30 for those asking.
Well, tailgating this afternoon for playoff baseball. Beautiful weather in Kansas City. I mean, honestly, it is perfect right now outside. And the Royals, by splitting in New York, they're in control. They're in control of this series. That's the position they put themselves in. You get Seth Lugo on the bump. We'll talk about him more specifically in a couple of minutes. But yeah, the Royals, we've talked about pressure and things like that. You know, I think at home it presents a different bit of pressure for everybody when you're back at home. The Yankees aren't at home, but their pressure is more just historical pressure.
The series is tied, even though they were home.
And Aaron Judge not hitting in the postseason again. For the Royals, you know, I'm sure it's the first time any of these guys other than Salvador Perez on the team have experienced the K like it's going to be tonight. But I think when you're the home team, that only amps you up more. That only leads, hopefully, to even better performance from guys like Michael Garcia, as we discussed with J.J. Bocolo yesterday, that he lives for these intense atmospheres. It's, I think, a big reason why he had a four-hit night in New York the other night.
Yeah, I think that that's a huge reason why. And I do think that the playoff version of baseball at Kauffman I've missed, dearly missed. I mean, look at that. Look at the Padres game last night. Did you see that park? It was just like, it was rocking again. Kauffman is hungry. They haven't had a chance to do these things in a long time. Royals fans haven't had a chance to do these things in a long time. And I do think that they're in control of this series. Whether I think they're going to win it or it's a lock, 100%, no question. No, obviously, the Yankees are a very good team, and this series could still go either way. But the Royals gained control of this series by getting the win. And if you said, on aggregate, who has been the better team in the first two games of this series, even though it's tied 1-1, the answer is the Royals. The Yankees only had a chance to win one of the games. The Royals had a chance to win both. Just put that to a side. The Royals' bullpen's been better. They've been similar on offense. I think Yankees better in game one, Royals better in game two offensively. Nobody's had any kind of advantage in the starting pitching department. The Royals are the team right now that have the advantage in the series. And as we get, how many hours away? 8 hours away from first pitch. Exactly, actually, it's 10:08. 8 hours exactly from this second from first pitch tonight at the K. There is no player I am happier for. And that includes Bobby Witt Jr. or our friend Vinny Pasquantino or any of the guys that we know or like on this team than Salvador Perez. I am so happy for Salvador Perez. Dude, do you realize he was 25 years old The last time he played in a playoff game for the Royals, 25. He was a baby.
He was. I saw the photo that was circulating yesterday on social media. How cool was it? It was Alcides Escobar. This is 2012 or 2013. Yeah. This is even before the run of 14 or 15. It's Alcides Escobar, Salvador Perez, a skinny Salvador Perez, a young Salvador Perez. And in the middle of the photo is who? Alcides Escobar's cousin.
Mikel Garcia.
You know the photo I'm talking about. It went viral a little bit yesterday. And you see, I don't know how old Mikel would have been in that photo. I mean, he looked like he was like 11 years old or 10 years old, if that.
An actual child.
He was a child. And now to fast forward, and he's one of the key pieces and was a key piece to winning that game on Monday. And probably is going to have to be, I think, have a key at bat at some point tonight or tomorrow in this series. So yeah, I mean, it's really cool for all of them, but specifically Salvador Perez, because we know the backstory of the last 12 months or so, which is that there were real conversations that maybe it was time to move on in terms of a trade. And would that be better for him? Would that be better for the organization? And those have been discussed quite a bit, those conversations. And they decided, both parties, that it was best to not move on. And there was belief and trust in this front office that they were going to make moves to put them in contention again. I don't think anybody thought it would be to this extent this quickly. Thank goodness it is. But for them to now be in an American League divisional series, knotted up with two home games coming up starting tonight, Salvador Perez having one of his best years of his career. I know
a resurgent year for sure.
No doubt. And I know the last month hasn't been the best offense, but he just came up with a home run on Monday that tied the game and ended any momentum the Yankees had. So, yeah, you're absolutely happy for Salvi. He was asked yesterday in some of the media availability about like what he remembers from 14 and 15. I think he said everything.
He said, I remember it like it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. God, that was a moving moment, wasn't it? Oh, man. I'm happy for all the guys because, again, we talked about this in the last, and I don't know if we've made a big enough point about this, the turnaround from 56 to what they are now. What we talked about in the last regime, the in-between regime, between when the Royals were last playing a home playoff game like they are today in 2015 and what they are today is, all those players that we talked about and Vern talked about got used to losing. They were losers because they got used to it. They just wallowed in it. They were familiar with the feeling of it. They went to the K knowing they were going to lose. They won 56 games last year. It had been easy for guys like Massey and Vinny and Brady and some of these guys to like let it wash over them in the same way it did for the unit before them. And instead, no. They've got guys like Salvador Perez who won't let them lose. Bobby Wood Jr. shows up who sure as hell won't let them lose. And the second that the right mix of pieces got in here, they don't have to get used to losing because now they know what the playoffs feel like. Playoff baseball feels like. Already have a playoff series win under their belt, tied at one game apiece against the New York Yankees. Imagine the emotional high they'll be riding if they win this series going into the ALCS because of it was knocking out the Yankees and you got home playoff games, all of that stuff factors.
Yeah, for those guys to experience what Kauffman's like for a playoff game, that's what I'm excited. I mean, same thing applies to fans too. There's a lot of you that either weren't able to in 14 or 15, weren't living in Kansas City that are listening maybe in 14 or 15 to experience what the K is capable of being. Let's be honest. Other than a handful of games over the last, I mean, random games, there hasn't been a ton of amazing moments over the last 9 years there. I know there were some games this year where Bobby and some of the guys were like, wow, never heard the K this loud. Well, wait till tonight. And that's what's special. And then look, I love playing the highlights like we did of 14 and 15. Those are memories we all will have for the rest of our lives. But I'm looking forward to the new memory that hopefully is created tonight and tomorrow and hopefully even further because they're going on a deeper playoff run. It's cool to reference 14 and 15. But I'll be honest, Cody, I'm kind of sick and tired of referencing 14 and 50 every single time we talk about good, positive Royals things. I'm ready for us to sit here a year from now, 5 years from now, hopefully be talking about that given year, but be like, oh yeah, remember 3 years ago when this team beat the New York Yankees and sent their ass back to New York and ended their season and caused them to blow that roster up. That's what I want to be talking about, not something from 15 years ago. So that's what I'm excited about, the memory that gets created tonight. Who's having the big hit at the K? What causes the building to go nuts this evening? Is it Salvador Perez once again with a key hit? Is it Bobby Wood Jr. for his first signature Kauffman Stadium postseason moment? That's the kind of stuff I cannot wait for tonight and tomorrow, and hopefully a clincher tomorrow out of Kauffman.
I can't either. I kind of go back to, you mentioned maybe a few months ago. I very easily remember a conversation saying, well, what'll it be like? I'm so happy these guys experience. Okay, you and I were sitting there on Radio Row. when the Chiefs were getting ready to go to their second of three Super Bowls. And at that time, Michael Massey and Vinny Pasquantino, in an off-air conversation, not off the record, off-air conversation, said, hey, do you think when Royals are good that the fans will show up? Mm-hmm. Do you think they'll show up like this, that they're showing up for the Chiefs? And we're like, oh my God, you guys have no idea. Yes. Yes. We both were like, absolutely. He's like, just you guys wait. If you get playoff baseball in Kansas City, wait till you see the support that you get from the people coming in. Because the answer is yes, absolutely, resoundingly, without question, yes, you will get that feeling of the K. That's what made me feel good about it, is that you and I both knew that at that time when they had asked that question, they were asking a serious question. Like, do they show up as well for Royals fans as they do for Chiefs fans in this moment as they're heading to a Super Bowl? And we're like, oh my God, you just, again, you got no idea. Yes, absolutely. And so for those players, for those guys, for the people that have never experienced the K, they've seen big games of the K. We've seen Bobby get MVP chance. We've seen big, loud crowds here a couple of times in August and September and July, but not playoff crowds.
No. And there's two things that I do hope happen tonight from a crowd standpoint. Number one, when Bobby Witt Jr. comes to the plate, because they're going up against the guy that's probably going to win MVP, even though any other year Bobby wins it, I would love some MVP Bobby Witt chance in the postseason on the national broadcast tonight. That would be a nice moment. I hope that happens. I assume it will. The other one,
right,
of course,
after he hits
is
a homer into the fountains.
Sure. Wow. Well, yeah. My goodness, that'd be incredible.
Please.
The other one, of course, is Boo Jazz or Raz Jazz or Jazz His Ass, whatever you want to do.
He's getting booed. That's
the other part that has to happen this evening. Those are the two things. Everything else can just happen a little more organically in the moment. But those are two things that I think Royals fans are ready and prepared for. And let's make sure we don't have any fake Yankee fans making a lot of noise at the K, like a regular season game sometimes happens.
I don't think that'll be the case tonight. I'm sure there are.
A lot of tickets on secondary market still.
Yeah?
DM me if you're looking.
Oh, wow. Are yours some of the tickets?
I have two.
You're working tonight.
I am working tonight. I still have a pair of tickets that have been listed. I've dropped the price down as well.
You could probably get no fees if you went directly through Alex.
I'm just saying, if you go direct through me, you know, you don't have to deal with the old ticket broker fees and stuff. I'm saying I got a pair of tickets, downstairs seats, you know? Hit me up.
From somebody who hasn't been like here for a play, I'm not going to the game, but I'm very excited having watched, you know, the Padres game last night. Like, maybe this is what it's like, because all you guys have told me and other people have been like, man, it's different in the playoffs at the K. So that I'm really excited to see what it's like. And hopefully we get the aesthetic shot overhead of the rally towels going.
First shot, Drew, I think, right before first pitch. Aerial shot. Welcome to Kansas City. Rally towels going. I can't wait. They're heading out. I don't know if they're the white or blue ones for this game. Who knows? I'm guessing they might be white. If everybody's wearing blue, that could look cool. I don't know. I can't remember from 15 what the go-to. They rotated. I think they gave out white and blue ones. Different day. Each game was a little different.
Okay. We'll see. I don't know. They haven't told me.
Feature Cody and Gold garage sale items.
Yeah. Well, maybe. I like to hold on to those two. We'll see. Actually, I don't collect towels. What am I going to do with them? Hang them up?
Someone says, how many Yankees fans do we think will be there? That's a good question. I mean, there will be some. It's the New York Yankees. Their fans are everywhere.
There are Royals fans at Yankee Stadium. Yeah. It always works both ways. It'll make up 10%, 8%. I don't know. Like, there's always a percentage of the crowd that's going to go to the road team for the fans that are willing to travel, but I think that's it. The big important question we have for tonight, which is if the Royals are going to get the win and they have a chance to clinch a seat to the ALCS at Kauffman Stadium tomorrow, is can Lugo step up? Do we think Lugo will step up? Because he led the American League in innings pitched this year. For all the Reagans didn't go deep, Walker didn't go deep, they have not had starters go deep in the order right now. You and I both know that they need Lugo to carry some innings. They play a baseball game tomorrow. That factors into this too. And he went a lot of innings for a reason. Now, he did have a higher home ERA than he did on the road. So he was a better road pitcher than he was home pitcher this year. But he was dominant the entire year. I do think Lugo is ready for this moment. I think the last time out, he did not perform to the level that they have wanted, and they still got the win. But I expect them to use Lugo deep into this game today.
So, Matt Cutrero, as we know, the last couple, has, in one case with Angel Zerpa, gone and been able to push the right button because Zerpa was able to throw strikes and was able to get out of the particular inning. We've seen that twice in this postseason. One time it didn't work. Ultimately, the player has to go out and execute. And so I think some people were not liking the decision to pull Michael Wacha on Saturday or
sure.
Cole Reagans or whatever. Cole Reagans' pitch count was also starting to get up high. Salvador Perez also signaled over to the dugout, like hey, it's time to get somebody loosened so you'll trust your veteran and recognizing that the command is off. So I don't think it's been crazy decisions by any means. I wonder, though, Cody, because there's not an off day tomorrow, do you see if Seth Lugo is pitching pretty well, them let him go longer than they did the prior couple outings from these starting pitchers? Because the other example is there was an off day. There was an off day when you played Saturday. You knew you had an off day on Sunday. When you played Monday, you knew you had an off day on Tuesday. This one, you know you're playing tomorrow no matter what. No matter what happens yes. tonight, you know you're playing a game tomorrow. So I wonder, unless Lugo has... I mean, his performances this year, he's going to give you somewhat of a baseline of performance. I think we've seen enough from him this year. I don't believe they'll be quite as quick with him knowing they have to do it all over again tomorrow without an off day. Does that mean he's going seven innings? Probably not. I just don't think that's how Q and the Royals are going to approach the bullpen this postseason.
No, I'd like six, though. I need six innings out of Lugo tonight.
Their bullpen has been sensational this postseason, and there's a lot of trust there, and I get it. They should have trust in these guys right now. They've been terrific, this group. But because you play tomorrow, I don't think you can afford to 4 1/3 inning pull Seth Lugo if it's, you know, a 2-1 game or something like that and go to Serpa again in the fifth. I just don't believe you do that tonight, knowing that tomorrow Walker's on the mound and you might have to do it all over again, or you will have to do it all over
again. This team with a lot on the line in August and September, in six of his last seven starts, he was at least still pitching in the sixth. He got through the sixth in five of those seven starts, Gold. And the one start I'm talking about where he didn't at least pitch in this, or I'm sorry, six of the last seven, I'm not counting the last start where he only went two innings.
Yeah.
So six of the last seven that mattered, he went into the sixth inning. Five of the last seven, he pitched through the sixth inning. He gave them at least seven solid innings of work, including five starts that went two earned runs or less. That's what I expect out of Seth Lugo. I know he said this out of Reagans and he didn't deliver, but the same thing applies. Reagans didn't deliver. I still expected it out of him, and they needed it out of him. Now, they covered him, but they saved Reagans' ass in the last game, right? He didn't have it. Now, he battled. He didn't just, like, leave the game.
Yeah, he wasn't bad, but it wasn't
leave the games up to the gods, but he did not. He'll tell you. I'll tell you, Vern will tell you, he did not deliver what he was expected to deliver in that game. That's what they need from Lugo tonight. If they get what they're supposed to get out of Lugo tonight, well, then they're winning. And then on Thursday, we get to talk about them with a chance to clinch it on their own home field, a chance to go to the ALCS. And so, yeah, I'm going to put that pressure on them once again because they played 162 games this year. They won 86 of them. And the starting rotation was the single biggest reason why they were able to do that this year. So, like, why would I not assume or put the pressure back on them in order to do that?
Everybody, of course, available after the day off yesterday. So, depending on how this game, if it's close or if it's out of hand one way or the other, also can change your approach. But looking at even Clark Schmidt, the pitcher who nobody really knows much about for the Yankees, limited innings, what, 90 innings this year or something. Really effective, though, in the 90 innings.
Sure.
Feels like, I know we've seen a 6-5 game and a 4-1 game to start this series. This one feel like it's a little lower scoring. I know we say that, and next thing you know, Aaron Judge and Bobby both blow up, and all of a sudden it's an 8-9 game in the eighth inning or something.
I don't think I can handle that. Ugh.
But it feels like this could be lean more towards that lower scoring mark, not a 6-5 game. It feels like this could be a 3-2 type of game, a 3-1 type of game, hopefully in favor of the Royals tonight. We're going to talk plenty of Royals baseball throughout the show. Here in about 8 minutes, we are going to be joined by Ross Tucker, though, our Odyssey NFL insider. Wanted to check in with him, as we do every week, get his perspective on the Chiefs going into the bye week 5-0. Also, what's been going on with the Jets and their firing of Robert Saleh and everything. But there's one thing that we have to remind our friends from the East Coast that might be coming to Kansas City today, might already be in town, and think that they somehow are big brother to us in Kansas City. And I'm not just talking about city size, flyover country crap that we'll hear all the time. I'm talking about actual sports titles, as in winning championships in the last, I don't know, 10 years. And who has done that? Remember, we only have, now if we want to throw in soccer as well, but
of the major four.
Four. Two. Uh-huh, mm-hmm, two of the major four. In the last 10 years, I just want to remind everybody, the New York market has zero titles.
None?
5 out of the last 11 years, if we count Sporting Kansas City, 5 titles in the last 11, if we include them. In New York, the answer is 0.
And as a reminder, they have 2 NBA teams, 2 NHL teams, 2 Major League Baseball teams. So they have 2 of every major sport. They have 8. They have 4 times the amount of the 4 major professional sports franchises. And Kansas City has 4 titles, and they got goose egg? Yeah, that feels good. We talked about this. This is our Midwest bias showing.
Oh, I know.
It brings me joy to watch East Coast teams struggle.
Absolutely. Just remember that. Don't let them try to. And I've seen this on social media more than anywhere else. And I don't know. Hopefully, out of Kauffman, it's not a problem. But I'm kind of sick of the discussion as if the Yankees are somehow the superior franchise over the last decade, or if the Yankees somehow have actually accomplished anything in the last decade. They haven't. They historically, sure, duh. Last decade, what have they accomplished? What have they accomplished in New York?
They've gone Nothing. To some ALCSs. Maybe the Knicks team got to like the second round of the NBA, third round of the NBA
Jets
playoffs.
The Jets are a joke. The last title in that city was David Tyree catching a ball right off his helmet.
Was I in high school? Like, that feels so long ago.
Wasn't that 2011?
Yeah, I wasn't in high school. I was quite a bit older than that. But still, that feels like a million years ago.
I actually was.
Keep holding them. Keep holding them down. Keep holding them down, you know? Keep their head below water and make sure that they, as a city, continue to feel the pressure to do it. Meanwhile, the city they compete with the most in sports, Boston, probably has 15
right
during that time. Hell, the Celtics are the defending NBA champions.
I was going to say Boston, yeah.
Like, it's not like the Red Sox have no titles in the last 15 years. It's not like the Bruins don't have any hardware. They do. They have all those.
All right, by the way, it sounds like we have not got a text or anything that they're out of shirts downstairs. So if you're someone that was listening to start the show, remember, we've got some playoff themed shirts. Thanks to our friends over at DM Injury Law. You got to come by the parking lot here at 7000 Squibb Road, where our Odyssey stations are at. We had 100 to start. I have not got a text that we're out. So just use that information wisely. Take your time, though, getting over here. No need to rush or anything like that. But Bob, Dusty, and Mac are downstairs handing out some T-shirts. Up next, though, let's talk a little NFL briefly. Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL insider, want to ask him if he agrees that was the best the Chiefs have looked all season.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few, but if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts. equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Next. Back here on Cody and Gold, playoff Wednesday in Kansas City. Royals baseball coming your way this evening. We'll get right back to the Royals in 15 minutes or so. Of course, first pitch, 6:08 right here on your home for the Royals and Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. Let's talk a little Chiefs and NFL, though, for a few minutes with our guy Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider. Insider Calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Ross, I know we weren't able to link up, but I must say that the photo, it looked great. How were the ribs? How was the brisket? How was the food on the, I'm assuming, the plaza here in Kansas City?
It was awesome, yes. I was staying, I don't know, what do they call it, Marriott Country Club Plaza or whatever. Okay. And I walked down, met my producer at Jack Stack, and I know everybody has their favorites, and I've been to the place where people say it's the most authentic or whatever. Listen, I don't care, okay? I just want good-tasting food, and it was delicious. It was great. You know what I really like is crowdsourcing from people what their recommendations are, right? So I put on social media, at Ross Tucker NFL, okay, KC, what am I ordering? And people had different opinions. A lot of people said the burnt ends. A lot of people said the crown. I don't even know what the crown is, but they said the crown. I got a lot of cheesy corn. So I think I did pretty well. I got the burnt ends. I got the ribs. I got the cheesy corn. I wasn't sure what to do with my third for the combo. I guess I feel like I have brisket a lot. I have pulled pork. I guess I could have done other burnt ends. But I ended up getting, you know, this might sound lame to you guys, I like a nice sliced turkey.
Okay.
I like a nice sliced turkey as a change-up with the burnt ends and the ribs. And then I would take, like, I cut up the turkey and I would dip it into my beans. That was delicious. It was like a bean-smothered turkey slice.
I feel like you did pretty well. I always think burnt ends you have to do because you'll go to other cities and they'll claim they're selling you burnt ends, Ross. I'm just going to tell you right now, they're just charring up a different part of the meat. It's not an actual burnt end. In Kansas City, they're giving it to you the proper way.
So, okay, so I know I've asked somebody this before, but you got to explain to me again what exactly is a burnt end and why don't they do it other places?
So the way that they cheat the system in other places is they'll cook it so it kind of looks like a, like it looks similar in style to it. Here it's the actual end piece of a brisket, right? It's like
the trimmings from a smoked brisket.
It's the trimming from a smoked brisket. It's just part of the finished brisket piece. And so in other places, they'll just cut it in a cube and be like, here you go. It's a burnt end. It's not the end part. That's where the flavor is.
But what I don't understand is why don't they do that in other cities? Why is Kansas City the only place where I even see burnt ends on the menu?
Laziness is my guess. They think it's trash food or something. I don't know. They're crazy, it's Ross. Delicious. That's the answer. Yeah, yes, I agree.
Everything about it was amazing. And then, because this is not amateur hour, okay, I asked them their desserts. They did have a warmed brownie with ice cream, because I know what I'm doing. I ordered an extra scoop of ice cream because every bite has to be half ice cream, half warm brownie. That was amazing. That's the way you finish it off. The contrast. I'll be happy to do any other Kansas City games the rest of the year. I'm very happy with my Kansas City experience. Although, I did think it was interesting, and again, I've created the genre, so we should talk about it, of press box food. Do the Chiefs typically try to do something from the away team? Because
now, normally, not the case.
Yeah, the press box food was gumbo, like chicken gumbo.
Okay.
And fried catfish bites. And, you know, I will say I thought the chicken gumbo was pretty good. I poured it sort of over a bed of rice. And maybe I was just so hungry at that point, but I thought it was tasty. But I don't know. I think it's interesting when an organization makes the decision, let's go ahead and let's try to give the away people something that they eat all the time in their home city. I don't know. There's we could have a much longer conversation about this.
Well, let's talk about the Chiefs. They moved to 5-0 ahead of their bye week. Alex and I both thought that that was the best game they've played all season. Do you think that that's the best the Chiefs have looked?
Yeah, by far. By far. I thought they looked really, really good. I thought Mahomes looked more comfortable than he has all year. They had multiple situations where guys were wide open. It's really, I mean, we'll see how many more Andy Reid and Mahomes can win together. But I do think we need to start having a conversation about where Andy Reid ranks among the all-time coaches. I mean, what was I watching Monday night? What was I calling? Kareem Hunt and Juju Smith-Schuster?
And four tight end sets, man.
2024? For the Chiefs, and a 35-year-old Travis Kelce? Mm-hmm. In 2024 for the Chiefs? I mean, it's super impressive against a good Saints defense that they were able to move the ball as well as they did. I mean, honestly, that game shouldn't even have been close. You know, they got bogged down in the red zone and held the field goals, which is unlike the Chiefs. And then Colin Saunders had those incredible back-to-back plays, you know, stuffing Kelce and then the interception return, which was hilarious, obviously.
Yes.
But honestly, you know, I mean, that game, you know, didn't even need to be that close, and they still won by double digits against a team that had played very well through the first 4 weeks.
Do you believe, though, watching Juju Smith-Schuster, that performance in a weird way could cause the Chiefs to not trade for a receiver in a couple weeks?
That's an interesting observation. I think they will still be very open to it. I think they know what they believe Xavier Worthy is right now, what Justin Watson is and has been, what Sky Moore hasn't been, and even what Juju is now. I don't think Monday night will give them delusions of Juju grandeur, right? I think that they still probably think they'd be better served if they got somebody else in there to be a part of the mix, especially because what happens if somebody else gets hurt?
Yeah, I think it presents a problem, certainly there, and I would absolutely go after a wide receiver. Amongst the rest of the AFC, I just want to ask you, since we only got a couple more minutes, I just want to ask you three teams, and I want you to tell me who's better in the AFC. Texans, Ravens, or Bills? Who's the best out of those three? How would you rank them?
Ravens 1, Bills 2, Texans 3. I would say Bills and Texans are pretty close right now. But the Ravens, they've really kind of got that offense and the run game going. You can throw it on them, but they've got the offense and the run game going. Interestingly, the Bills just lost to them, to both those teams, back-to-back weeks. But that was also the worst I've ever seen Josh Allen play. And they didn't have Shakir, who's a critical component of their offense, Khalil Shakir. I still would take the Bills over the Texans, like in a playoff game. You know, I thought that was an opportunity for them to kind of make a statement that they're a true contender. I don't know that they made it. I mean, they won, but I don't know that I was impressed. Now they put Nico Collins on IR. That's not good. I mean, he's kind of the engine that makes the offense go.
We're talking to Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL insider here on 96.5 The Fan. We know the news yesterday morning, the Jets firing Robert Saleh. I think if they would have done it in the offseason, people wouldn't be all that surprised. But the fact that it happened so early on in the year was what made it a little stunning. What do you think this does, if anything, for the Jets moving forward? I mean, the offense is the problem, not the defense.
Right, and we'll see what decision new interim head coach Jeff Ulbrich makes on the offensive side of the ball. You know, there's all kinds of weird reports out there. There's a report that Saleh was thinking about firing Nathaniel Hackett. Mm-hmm. There's a report that Saleh had given Todd Downing the play-calling duties right before he got fired. I mean, there's a lot of interesting things going on there. I don't think he would have actually fired Hackett because I don't think that would have gone over well with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it is interesting to me. It's kind of like we're sort of getting, and you guys are in a good spot with Mahomes and how good of a guy he is, but we're sort of getting into the NBA-ification. It's definitely not a word of the NFL in that it just feels like Aaron Rodgers runs the organization. You know, they're letting a 40-year-old quarterback who's probably not a top 10 guy anymore dictate the terms.
Yep.
That doesn't seem like a real good recipe for success.
No, 100% with you. The Jets, of course, get the Bills. Somehow, if the Jets were to win, they'd be in first place. That's what's wild about the timing of the firing and everything, but I'm with you. The head coach of the New York Jets is Aaron Rodgers. All right, Ross, appreciate it, man. Glad you enjoyed the barbecue and your time in KC, and we'll try to catch you up here in a couple weeks.
That'd be great. See you guys.
There you go. Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider Calls, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart or grocery store to add that extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season.
We are informed that the playoff-themed t-shirts we had available downstairs to the first 100 people, they are gone.
Out.
But we will be doing it again soon.
Yes.
We'll have another chance for you to get those shirts down the road. But if you were heading this way or you're thinking about getting them, those playoff-themed t-shirts outside the building, gone, as Denny would say. No more as you head towards the K here in about 7 hours.
That's right. I saw Dusty walk back up here. I knew, and I was like, we out? He's like, yeah, we're out quick. Figured that was going to be.
I'm surprised it took 45 minutes.
A lot of people were hitting me up about these tickets, though.
Have you?
I was negotiating with somebody.
Found a buyer?
I was negotiating with a listener, and we're still, it's still in the process. Some of you have texted in. I haven't had a chance from doing a radio show at the same time, so I haven't had a chance to respond to you.
Man, you're selling tickets while you're on the air?
I'm trying to. I'm going to the game. I want to be very clear.
Why just give them to Drew and his wife? Let him experience playoff baseball for real.
Be generous. Because I spent money on the tickets.
You know, but you could, it's like a gift. Early Christmas gift for Drew.
I spent money on the tickets. I'm trying to, I think, give a pretty good deal because I'm avoiding the fees and so are you versus going on a StubHub or something like that. So yeah, I know I'm going to the game tonight. You and I are both going to be there, but I have a pair of tickets that I bought weeks ago just in case that I wasn't going to go for work, full disclosure, and I am. So yeah, I have a pair of tickets. They're downstairs. I'll just say row 20 or section 201. That's the outfield Sonic Slam. Row G. Hit me up. I think it's a pretty fair price. I'm not going to say the price on the air, but look at the ticket prices and know that you're going to pay about $60 at least per ticket in fees. I'm saying let's eliminate the fees for both of us. We both get a good deal.
It does work better that way for sure. I'll say that. Speaking of the game tonight, I was thinking about the team building and the JJ Piccolo stuff and everything that led to this team and why they're having success so far in the postseason. The Royals are 3-1 in the postseason so far. For the most part, we've been experiencing winning playoff baseball here in Kansas City once again. There is something they build their team around in the regular season that I think barely helps them. I'm dead serious. Barely impacts their win total in the regular season that clearly makes a massive difference once runs are hard to come by and you got to scrap for them. Defense and base running. Specifically base running. I understand that those are things you got to be good at, but if you just got good pitching and you can't run a lick, you can be the best team in baseball. If you have great hitting and great pitching, but you can't steal a base or play defense. There are teams that can't play good defense in the postseason right now who can't base run. The Yankees, who are in the postseason right now. But the reason why I think the Royals, when they do miraculously, it seems like, get to the postseason over the last 10 years, the two runs they had in 14 and 15, and now this run currently in 2024, the base running and the defense is the reason why they actually win these games. I mean, look at it. Tommy Pham makes a play in left and right field from two different sides yesterday. Half of the Royals lineup, would you say, could steal a base? Isbell, Michael Garcia, Bobby Witt Jr. Hell, Massey takes one every once in a while, right? I mean, it's not a ton. Well, maybe he only has one or two. He doesn't have a ton. But half of the Royals lineup can steal a base. It seems like it's the difference between why when they get to the postseason they are successful, but why I don't like watching it in the regular season, if that makes sense. I don't feel like it impacts the win total there as much, Gold, as it impacts it during the postseason.
Well, once you get to the postseason, starting pitching, we always talk about shorter series that sets you up. And then, yeah,
you go to their bullpen.
How do you have great starting pitch? You back it up. You rely on your defense a little bit more. Every mistake that is made on the base pass or defensively is magnified even more. So, yeah, I know there's frustration at times of how some teams go about building their team. This is the story of the New York Yankees, Cody, in their postseason history. Why you and I brought up last segment that in the last decade, that city hasn't had a whole lot of four major pro sport titles, as in zero out of the four majors. I understand some of the soccer teams there have won, as some of you texted us. I'm talking about the four major pro sports. They haven't had a title there. The Yankees in particular, their problem is they got a great lineup, home run city, Bronx Bombers, all that. Come October, the bats go cold. And they have relied on that so heavily. You know, it's why when we talk about the Baltimore Orioles, they didn't have a pinch runner for Ryan O'Hearn on their playoff roster.
Yeah.
You know, so that the Royals have built a roster where they have that flexibility and it gives them those options moving forward. They're going to continue to have that with the way the roster is constructed this postseason. And honestly, for beyond this year, it's how they kind of built this team. We'll go 14 and 15 and how they did
it. It's just funny. I don't feel like it's like a far down the list contributing factor for why they are a postseason team, the speed and defense. And somehow it skyrockets like 10 spots up the list for why you win them once the postseason starts. And I think it's a lot of what you're saying. I just think runs are harder to come by in the postseason. Like, you got to scratch and survive and earn them and get them. Home runs always go down. You've talked about this before. I've talked about this before. The boppers don't seem to matter as much. Do you know who led? Do you want to know the stolen base totals for the New York Yankees right now? The team that has not run the bases well. Right now, as it sits, Anthony Volpe has the most stolen bases in New York Yankee at 28. Jazz Chisholm has 18. Okay. He can run the bases. Jazz Chisholm can run them. He had a lot with Miami before. He had 18 in 46 games. So he steals a base about every other game. The next highest person on the entire Yankees list this year is Judge with 10. They don't run, dude. If a Yankees player is on first, that's where he's staying. Do you know how many games? I don't think anyone has been keeping track of this stat, but something I've definitively noticed in the first two games. Think back now, Golden. You'll realize it too. How many times this series have you seen the Yankees get a hit with a guy on first and that guy stopped at second? It's happened like five times. It's happened. You hadn't thought about it until now, but it's happened like five times that a guy has hit a single to right field and they haven't had a soul go first to third. Put themselves on third base with one out. Put them on the corners. Put more pressure on the Royals. The Royals are doing that to teams. It seems like it's a major factor in this series.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll get to what we think is the single biggest decision that has allowed the Royals as an organization to get to this point. We'll take your phone calls on that too. 913-586-7965. That's also the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. That's coming up in 10 minutes. I know we normally, when we talk about Deion Sanders, it's about college football specifically, and it's talking about Colorado and all that. We're not talking about Colorado, but Deion was holding a press conference yesterday. Coach Prime was. And he was looking at a reporter that asked a question. He said, "Hey, I like your hat, man." The reporter was wearing a Royals hat. And so listen to this piece of audio. It's a back and forth, but also Deion explaining his time at spring training when he was near the Royals facility and also getting drafted by the Royals organization. I thought this was just pretty cool. I think Royals fans will enjoy this.
George Brett, I grew up on George Brett.
That's funny.
I grew up Terry Park.
100%.
I was hustling balls in the third grade. I used to skip school, bring my little sock. I used to beat everybody running when they hit the home run balls, and I used to get the balls, and I used to sell them during the game.
Really?
That was my hustle. I used to always make sure I brought the teacher my best ball with an autograph. I used to sit out there where they came out there out of the clubhouse, and I would get their autographs. And I would beg for crack bats. Crack bats was like $10 or $15. You know, good home run ball and BP was like $3.50, $1.50 bat ball. Amos Otis, I used to go down there in the batting cages and help him pick up the balls. I used to be standing on the gate, little kid, you know, darn 7, 8 years old. And he used to let me come in and I helped him get up the balls and pick up the balls. And he would give me several of them. And that was my hustle, man. I was drafted by the Kansas City Royals out of high school.
Really?
Dick Houser was the manager. Dick Houser is the one, the late, great Dick Houser was the one that said, "Son, if you're good enough for us to draft you right now, I hear you're a pretty good football player. I would go to college and we'll draft you again. And that's why I went and played football, because they offered me a substantial amount of money, even though I wasn't an early round pick. But it was a lot of money from a kid that grew up 2 miles from the place.
That's kind of cool to hear him talk his time at spring training and Amos Otis. And
pretty good advice, by the way. Tell him to go play football.
Dick Houser, yeah, saying, hey, you can go to college, man, and maybe play football. Worked out pretty well for Deion Sanders. I'll be honest, I didn't know all the background. Maybe some of you listening are like, well, how did you know? I wasn't fully aware of that exact sequence, and certainly didn't know that, you know, he ended up kind of getting to know Amos Otis and some of those guys and selling $10 crack bats basically as a side hustle.
I love the hustle of like going to get used BP baseballs and selling them for $1.50.
That's awesome.
Or getting BP home runs and selling them for $3.50. You can already tell, like, some of the times where, like, the two sport athletes are easily some of the most impressive to me, where we don't see that really ever anymore. It's been a long time since we saw a guy truly dip his toe in both. Like, Kyler Murray seemed like maybe he was next man up in that department, right? And he chose football because quarterback pays a lot of money and a lot of guaranteed money, and you can get it a whole hell of a lot sooner in the NFL than what you would be expected to get it in the Major League Baseball if you continue to do it long enough. But yeah, that's cool. The Royals have an incredible history of drafting some great football players. Elway and Deion, they were great. I think maybe they were great at drafting future great
A's, Kyler Murray was the A's.
Murray. I was talking the old guys. But it's like Elway and all those guys, did a really good job of drafting future great football players. Apparently Deion being one of them.
Yeah, no, I thought you were about to say Murray. You were like Murray, and I thought you were going to bring up other players. Obviously, Bo Jackson, his history playing two sports too.
Yeah, well, he was great at both too. They just got him for baseball that time versus the guys who eventually went on and played that. I don't know. Do you think we'll ever see another NFL NBA guy or NFL Major League Baseball guy?
Everybody thought Kyler Murray, right? I mean, everybody thought Kyler Murray was going to be that player. I just think in today's day and age, the workout regimens, what's expected year round now from you, and you know, that is your job. And what is required to play at the level, and just with where everybody's athleticism is at in each sport nowadays, and training regimens. I don't believe you can play two sports. No, I don't believe that. And also, I'll be honest, like, if I'm let's say I'm the NFL team and I draft you top five and I'm going to invest all this money in you, I don't believe that investment I'm making in you that I want you playing another sport. Hell, this is the argument even for Travis Hunter at Colorado, who's going to, you know, can play corner and wide receiver. If I'm a team that drafts Travis Hunter in the top five, Cody, I don't want him playing two sports in the NFL. I want him focusing on one. I would choose wide receiver. So
want him double dipping the position.
Correct.
I just don't know in the NFL if you can play 90 snaps in a game and stay healthy. I know people play special team snaps and play a halftime defensive role. So maybe there's some way to manage it. I don't know, but I don't know how you could possibly think that that's going to be the case. It's also just, I think people will tell you in youth sports that there tends to be a hyper-focus now on being great at one thing versus being multi-sport athletes. That's just changed. Gold, when you were a kid, when I was a kid, you played baseball in the summer and basketball in the winter. You know, you really did just play one sport or two sports per season year-round in rotation. And now if you play competitive baseball, there are indoor machine pitch essentially like shot tracer leagues, right? Where exit velocity, where you hit, like, there are leagues year round for every sport you play. If that's the only sport you play, is a completely different element.
One of my friends in high school, he actually played football in Missouri. And he said, as he was getting recruited by other schools, the college coaches would tell him, we need you focusing on football stuff. Like, do not play basketball. Do not do any of the extra stuff.
Yeah, there's some studies that say, like, specializing in one sport is not a good idea.
It's not.
But yeah, it is interesting just where things are at. It's much different than it was.
Didn't hurt Mahomes to play baseball.
Definitely did not. All right, up next, let's get to the biggest decision that was made to get the Royals to this point. We'll take your calls on it as well. 913-586-7965. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.